one right here. Called Tubman. Period. Hold my mule. Hand me my hammer. Mere to smite or build. I call her double entendre. Run with me or get out of my way. I'd rather meet my maker than be in bondage another day. Chorus. I'm reaching for my tummy. Call me Moses. I'm the new lawgiver. Yeah. I'm reaching for my tummy. Crooked footed, but I'm a deliverer.
Second verse, y'all.
Hold my mouth. Give me room. Small or to build, be a wide word, a bride, ready for her groan. Buck with me, hey. Oh, sit yourself down. We ain't got long to be here, so I'm gonna shout right now. Oh yes I am. Of course I'm reaching for my took man. Call me Moses. I'm a new lawgiver. Hey, I'm reaching for my took man. Crooked footed, but I'm a deliverer. Oh, 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 look at here. Oh, look at here. Hey, look at here. My, my, my Lord. My Lord, look at here.
To the top, y'all.
I'm the guilty. Crooked footed, eye child. Lord, wait a minute, work the M.E. Crooked footed, eye child. Don't think they heard me say M.E. Crooked footed, eye child. Don't think they heard me say M.E. Crooked footed, eye child, y'all. There ain't any blacker, any blacker than me, yeah. Them blacker, blacker than me. Them blacker than me. Them blacker, blacker than me. Them blacker than me. They're blacker than me. They're blacker than the blacker than me. Them blacker than me. Them ain't a man and them blacker than me. Them blacker than me. Them blacker than me. Blacker than me, y'all. Ain't nan them blacker than me. Ain't nan. Drop right here, y'all. Ain't nan blacker.
Red Dio. That's the new word. I'm gonna enter it into the. I want to enter it into the Webster Dictionary.
Well, you would be Red the guy Dio. That would come up with new words, right?
Look, yes. Red Dio. That's when you're ready for radio.
Avery Red R. Young Dio. Is my guest. He, of course, we just heard his live performance with his band, A Deacon Board. Tremendous month for you. You've got a new book coming out, Neckbone. You've got the new album, Tubman, which is out in the middle of the month here. First of all, great to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's great to see you, too.
What possessed you? I know you are such a creative guy, and we've had you on before, but what possessed you to do both a book and an album at the same time?
Wow. Well, the book and the album is in service of each other. So the idea is that the album, Tubman, is the soundtrack for the book, Neckbone. That is the original thought behind having a book and a record out at the same time. The issue right now is books and records are totally two different entities. You know, even in the context of a movie or a soundtrack for a movie, which was my thought, right? Movies have soundtracks. I'm going to have a soundtrack for my book. You know, even in the context of that, they're still two separate entities. But this is usually, you know, a movie is made by one person and the soundtrack is made by another. This is the weird thing. I did both.
You did both. Well, I did both. It makes a lot of sense, especially on paper, because you as a poet and a musician and an educator, you work with words. That is what you do. So it's not surprising you're prolific enough to do both.
Yes.
When you say it's a soundtrack for the book, how do they interact?
So the interaction of the book and of the records, the songs are to extend specific poems in the book and also ideas that the book brings up. So Neckbone really is about how this person, being me, learned to navigate through adjectives that a lot of people may consider to be, that a lot of people not necessarily value. And so the poems in the book are about me navigating that. Mm-hmm. And so my idea with the music was to create the music that were inside those moments. Mm. Just the thought of like the movie, when you see a movie and you see a scene and then there's the there's the song playing behind, and that was exactly what I'm like, what is playing in the background in this particular moment or this in this particular poem. So that was the idea.
I know that and we've talked about this before, but you as a poet, and I know that you look up to, inspired by Gil Scott Heron and others like that who were poets who put their words to music.
Yes.
You do that.
Yes.
But if you listen to the performances, this is not reading poetry over, you know, over some drums, right?
No,
this
not
is
at
a
all.
Full
not at
performance.
All.
You would not know that the music that you're producing with the band is based on poetry.
Wow. Thank you. For me, though, it's all poetry. Even Respect, Aretha Franklin or Otis Redding, Respect is a poem, you know, set to music, or it's just language set to music. I think as a poet, I have more of a concern, a way in which the music services the words as opposed to the way in which the words fit in to the groove. But I just think that's the only difference. I still understand music to be a material of vibration, and people still supposed to feel and rock with it, you know, not necessarily sit down and go, oh, that metaphor.
But there's something about your poetry too, though, and and you've been at the forefront of this, that
yes
we're going to sit down and listen to you read a poem or perform live in that form. It's never a poetry reading. It is a performance, and it is when you say about the music vibrating, and that happens when you're just reading the poems themselves. There's it's not a moment where you're not into the words, that you're not feeling the words. Where do you think that comes from?
That really comes from me sitting down and being involved, well, just being immersed in the culture of, I will say, Baptist church. I've never seen anybody orate language and it just be somebody reading from a book. Every time, every time I've seen someone orate or speak words, it's always been in the midst of vibrations, and it's always been performance. It's always been kind of like this call and response. The expectation of the audience was never just to sit back and hear something. The expectation for the audience is to participate in the messages that's being communicated. So that's where all that comes from. Yeah. Just staring at preachers all my life, and also being a lover of the blues and seeing that same thing. People don't go to a blues place and just sit down and just go, oh, okay, you know, that's
let me
that's
listen
not
to
what
this.
It's
no,
let
never
me,
works out.
Let me listen to this. You know, the language is supposed to strike a chord within you, you right. know, and which will cause you to respond to something. So that's where all of that comes from.
You said the word expectation, and I think about you as a poet, and there's an expectation for what a poet is
yes.
or what poetry is, and mm-hmm. you seem to defy that in the way that you push back on what poetry can do or what poetry
yes.
is. Why do that? Why try to break what people know of the art form?
One of the reasons why I'm so adamant about changing the way in which people think and look at poems is because I feel like poetry may have disserviced itself by becoming so academic, right? And so that is intimidating.
Right.
But most babies learn language based upon poetry. Like, you know, I learned the alphabet because it was presented as a poem, right? It was presented in the letters that rhyme. A, B, C, D,
right.
E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
Right.
You know, that,
right, right.
that becomes a poem. That's a poem right there. And that's just people simply learning alphabet, you know? And so I challenge myself with each poem, especially with this book, Neckbone, and with the music from Tubman, is that, man, this can only come out of my hand. So I have to do it in a way that can't nobody else do it. So that's how I challenge myself. That's where I, because really to me, poetry is about the blessings of the individual, right? It is anybody truly can write and express a moment in time that they've experienced or that they have witnessed and even researched, mm-hmm. right? But what about you makes it a recording that only you can do, right? So you and I right now can look out in this window and write a poem about the cars that are crossing the bridge. My challenge to myself is to make sure you can't write what
yeah,
I just write, I write about
that's
it.
That's a great point. I know I can't write like you, but Avery R. Young's my guest.
Yes.
Deacon Board is in studio as well. We're going to hear some more live music, but you know, as you evolve as an artist, and we had you in here in the download not too long ago, a couple years ago now, but the,
yes.
this idea that you continue to push yourself with these dual projects, what are you trying to achieve as an artist? What is it at the end of the day? Are you looking for mass appeal? Are you looking for, what is it about these projects that makes you tick?
The thing about these projects that makes me tick is the idea of documentation. You know, Idris Goodwin is a poet, playwright, musician, rapper, and he has, years ago, he had a song, and the hook of the song is, if you don't document it, it never happened, right? So, essentially, my work in art and presenting the arts and in the many disciplines that I presented in is really just to say I happened. Like, at some point in life, at some point in the world, at some point in history, you know, I showed up, right? And I had this perspective on the way I grew up, the way in which black body is viewed, the way black culture is presented. I had some thought about that. And so that is the main purpose. Now, when you have the idea of commodifying that, right? You put it in a book, the book is supposed to be sold.
Right.
You make it an album, the album's supposed to be sold. Right. It is really at this point about getting that book and getting that record. It is in the many homes because the record for me feels good, right? And the book is beautiful. It's a book that belongs on a coffee table and starts conversation. And a lot of the work in a book really is really specific to black identity, queer identity, male identity. I think it reaches beyond those adjectives and applies to anybody who just dares to be themselves, you know? And so that's the main goal now, is to really get as many people exposed to this idea that they can actually be themselves. They can actually, the music, envision a soundtrack to your own life, which is what Tubman is, you know? Soundtrack to this life I had. Because it was, the crazy thing was, when I wrote the book, my thing was, oh, I'm going to pick like 28 things that happened to black people that kind of really explains black thought in like today. And then when I was like, this about me.
Yeah, right?
This is about me. I'm like, oh my goodness. I didn't know I was going to write about me as much as I did, you know.
It's a good subject. It's a good topic, right?
Hey, it's one I know very well.
And Chicago does too. Yes. Avery R. Young, one of the best poets, writers, and musicians in town. And the book is called Neckbone. It's out now. And the album as well is out, Tubman, which is coming out in the middle of the month here.
Yes.
Avery, great to see you.
Great to
and,
see you.
And thanks for coming in, bringing the band and performing. Appreciate
it. Anytime.
1, 2, 3. Hey! This was called Kong. Listen now. Kong Kong pulled me over one of the last time. Told mama I loved her. Cried, oh Lord. Don't let my cooking board be this street.
Water. Y'all.